The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Was a big meeting yesterday. Members of the hospitality sector have begged the government for help to survive. Over 100 interested parties were at the LVA gathering at the Manx Museum yesterday afternoon. Tim Johnston, MHK, and Dr. Allinson, both government ministers, were there from Enterprise and Treasury, respectively. And the hospitality sector, bluntly, they say, is in real pain, is in real danger. And the government says that if they're going to do anything, it has to be sustainable, fair, and, keyword, affordable. Have you got any thoughts on this? How much would it bother you if your local pub, restaurant, cafe went out of business, just disappeared, perhaps changed hands? Is it the nature of things, or do you think it's something that the government needs to address? Any thoughts? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Oh, Howard's first with us today. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just a thought and a question to the listeners out there. And to the, I think it's the DOI that operate the, shall we refer, arm's length, the railway.
Yeah.
The steam rail, etc. The Hogwart Express that operates in the UK, of course, is coming from the J.K. Rowling, and they're called the Jacobean Express. They're having problems now in so much that they will maybe, that word maybe, have to cease operations because the carriages, coaches, etc., they're using don't have automatic locking devices fitted. Now, the carriages themselves are part of the Hogwarts Express, and this is a very popular tourist attraction. And because they've had an extension on their operations, simply because of the uniqueness of it. And soon, when I heard this a little while ago, I thought, oh dear, I wonder whether that could possibly have, through the Railways Act, a problem for the Isle of Man Steam Railway, because they obviously, for their age, don't have any automatic locking.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they do say, there's nobody there to lock the doors. But on the steam railways here, they do have a guard. Now, it'd be nice to know if the DOI have taken a view of this, and whether there's a possibility that they could have problems sitting in the background for the Isle of Man Steam Railway.
Yeah, this is it's the Office of Rail Regulator or something like that in the UK. They said it's, as you say, concerned about the secondary door locks, and also passengers were at risk of falling out of their carriage or being hit whilst they lean out of their windows.
Yeah.
Which you and I would just probably call common sense.
Well, I have known for, not here on the island, but accidents, people leaning out the windows and, you know, being seriously injured. But my concern basically is that we have a unique system here on the island, and how long before they're calling for seatbelts on the horse trams? You know, because there's no windows or doors on those things.
Well, there are heritage railways up and down Britain, aren't there? And
yes.
I've not heard of this. I mean, if anybody knows to the contrary, then please say. But as you say, this rule has come in now, this Jacobite railway. They've cancelled journeys, I think, until further notice.
More or less, yes. And it goes up through some of the most beautiful countryside and that particular viaduct. They have visitors come from all over the world to see that and wait for the train to come up through.
But you would imagine, I mean, anybody on the Isle of Man would look at the steam railways, look at the electric railway, and, I mean, put it this way, if there are any problems with secondary locking on the steam railway, what on earth do they think about the toast rack on the trams?
That's what I'm saying. They'd be looking for seat belts on them. And a little green flashing light on the roof saying that the driver has now got a seatbelt fastened. But, you know, how far are they going to take this stupid nonsense? And the Jacobean Railway has been running for years while this act has been in force. And now they've said, right, oh, enough's enough. You either, well, looks like they say you get those automatic locking devices fitted or you don't function. And the silly idea of it is these things do have a habit of coming down and bite you in the backside, and our own steam railway, you know, if you don't look at it and think about it. But I've been down there, I've been on the trains, and the guard will walk up and down the train and lock the doors from the outside. You physically got to drop the window to open the door that's leaning out. Yeah. And obviously, well, with a bit of sense, you won't be doing that when it's on the move. But these idiots in power, in health and safety, they don't think about these things. They only want to make a bright light come on in their life.
Well, that's, really, this is all about power, isn't it? It's all about,
it is.
And, you know, if people appear to be having fun, and of course there will be the occasional person who thinks, you know, that they don't quite understand what a bit of self-restraint is. So, but, you know, whether that would affect, should affect everybody else, who knows? But, I mean, there are dozens of these preserve railways and heritage lines along Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody knows, please tell us if there's any health and safety restrictions. I'm just trying to think, what's that big tram museum called in Derbyshire? Crich, that's it, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are trams all over that place, and lots of the living museums have got trams, and I'm not aware of any kind of barriers or seatbelts or what have you. It would look a bit out of place, wouldn't it?
Well, it would, but I know of one instance where there's a paddle steamer that's up in Scotland, and a friend of mine, she's on the ramp at the moment, fitted up, refitted. And the health and safety went on board and said, oh, you'll have to move that out of the way. I said, well, that hump in the deck. I said, well, if we take that out, we're not going to drive the paddle wheels. That was a shaft. And this is what these people think like. They, you know, as long as it looks all right on paper, it doesn't matter whether the thing works or not. And this is what you've got to be ultra careful about. But a lot of those heritage railways are using more modern coaches. We'll have the locking devices on them. But the Jacobean one, the Hogwart Express, I don't know what year those carriages were manufactured. And they've only got a single door either end, I think.
Yeah.
They're not multiple doors.
Well, I wonder, as I say, I've never heard, and the implications would be extremely serious for our heritage railways, even the little ones. I mean, look at places like Groudle Glen. They there are no chains on the, you know, you sit in the carriages and whistle up the glen and there are no chains. I think they're relying on people's common sense not to walk out of the carriage when the train's running. But even smaller, the one that runs in the wildlife park.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I know the one you mean. I've been on it a few times up there, and some friends of mine, they operated. Mike Casey, he was senior engineer, Mike, at the steam packet many, many years ago, and he is a very safety-conscious man. I don't know if he's still there or not, but he was very safety-conscious, and this is where some people who have not had a working life within the particular medium they're dealing with in health and safety, these are actually the problems.
Well, the thing is, Howard, I mean, there's danger in everything. Everything's a risk, isn't it?
Well, if you climbed a tree when you're young and you fell out, you learn not to climb it again.
Oh, yes.
But if you did, you hung on tighter.
Okay.
And that was the health and safety of the days.
Yeah.
And people did fall out of trees, but they got up and walked away.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, then. Take care.
Oh, it's good to hear from you. Well, that's the story about the Hogwarts Express, the Harry Potter Hogwarts Express, temporarily suspended after a safety examination raised concerns about secondary door locks. This is a heritage railway. They said people were at risk of falling from their carriages or being hit whilst they leaned out of their windows. Well, most railways in the UK don't have windows you can open anymore, even small ventilation ones. So probably there's a generation of people not knowing what it's like to lean out of a railway window. as you used to have to do at one time or another. But we'll see what happens, and certainly it is the onward march of health and safety. Not a bad thing in essence, but as with everything, there are extremes. Gordon's on now. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, how are you, Andy?
Good, thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd just like to follow up what Howard's just been talking about. As a lifelong railway enthusiast, this business of secondary locking only applies on the national network, not on heritage lines.
And
the reason it's being implemented is because the Jacobites are using what are called Mark I carriages, which have not been used on the national network for 40 years, probably.
Which bit of the national network in England are they using?
Well, the Jacobite is the West Highland line.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
Fort William to Mallaig. But this thing about secondary locking, it applies to the whole of the national network. Because, I mean, I come from Northern Ireland originally, and the Railway Preservation Society of Ireland run trains using the same carriages on the national network over there, but they have fitted electronic secondary locking to all of their carriages. So the guard, at a flick of a switch at one end of the train, can lock every door.
So, presumably, any of the other heritage railways in and around England that use bits of the national network are subject to this rule as well?
Oh, if they went on the national network, yes, they would. And there are operators that do go on the national network, and I think they are complying with them, because I think they have more up-to-date carriages.
Right.
And so the Jacobite ones are old carriages. But if this was applied to heritage railways, it would shut every single one of them down.
Well, certainly, as we were talking about with Howard, they have windows that open, they have doors you can open from the inside.
And also, on heritage railways, a lot of the carriages are wooden-bodied, which are completely banned on the national network because of the fire and crash risks.
Okay, all right. Well, I appreciate that, Gordon. Thanks for calling today.
Okey-doke. See you. Bye-bye.
Good to hear from this Jacobite, as Sir Gordon was saying, the Jacobite, the steam locomotive, and it hauls tourist trains over the West Highland line in Scotland, as Gordon said, from Fort William to Mallaig. Mallaig's gorgeous, isn't it? But it is long. I think it's about 40-odd miles. But it doesn't apply to private lines, so it has to be on the national network. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, just talking about the regulation behind these issues with heritage railways, etc., and the Isle of Man steam railway in particular. Being a legislative nerd as I am, I really must get out more. I looked up the Isle of Man Passenger Transport Act 1982, which seems to be the central piece of legislation on this. And Schedule 6. And Schedule 6, 7, in this schedule, the enforcing authority means the authority responsible for enforcing this schedule and Schedule 7 under the Health and Safety at Work Act, etc., Act 1974, an Act of Parliament as it has effect in the island. And the Inspector of Railways means an inspector appointed for the purposes of that Act. Therefore, the authority is the UK authority, whatever it is. Is it the Railways Regulatory Authority or some such? I can't remember what the
is the Office of Rail Regulation.
Office of Rail Regulation, yeah. So it would be that. The only check on that would seem to be, under Schedule 6, the preceding Section 6, an order made by the enforcing authority under paragraph 5D, shall not come into operation until it is approved by Tynwald. So Tynwald does have a block on it, but the regulatory authority is that office. Therefore, if they're doing those kind of things in Scotland, then they have the capacity, under the Act, as far as I can see, to do such things here.
Crikey. I mean, that would change things drastically here, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, it would. But the thing is, Tynwald does have a brake on it, of course. But it doesn't mean that the regulator doesn't have the capacity to put that before Tynwald.
And it was it's the 1982 Act. What's it called?
1982 Isle of Man Passenger Transport Act.
Isle of Man Passenger Transport Act. Okay. All right.
Schedules 6 and 7.
Jolly good. Thanks, Bonzo.
Okay, cheers.
Good to hear from you. Thanks all to Paul, who just said, you're wrong, Andy. It's not called the Office of Rail Regulation anymore. It was actually called the Office of the Rail Regulator before. Now it's the Office of Rail and Road. You see, that's the trouble with acronyms. You just can't keep up with them. My husband and I went to Manx Telecom and had new SIM cards put on our phones. Apparently, every mobile phone on the Isle of Man needs a new SIM card, says Mary. Is that true? Can you tell us why? Is that true? Does everybody need a new SIM? I've not been told. Terry said, I understand the arguments for assisted dying, but I can also see that once in place, the vulnerable, the infirm, the elderly will feel an obligation to die. Terry's words. Through austerity, society has become cold and callous, I think. Less money around at the moment, the Treasury Minister comes up with this. Could this be for saving more money? Once we open this up, many will become vulnerable to persuasion, says Terry. That discussion, of course, continues. I think it did get some mention at the listening to you, but that, I think Mr. Cannon pointed out it was a parliamentary thing at the moment. It's not a policy matter. But anyway, always welcome to chat. Illegal migrants are apparently evading UK detention and going to Aeros. A big story about that in the Irish news as well. The UK won't take them, so what happens if they come here, says G? Well, not much chance, to be quite honest, really, unless they're brought illegally, because everybody gets spotted. And the issue being, and the definitive fact, is that the UK and Ireland's welfare systems are non-contributory. Over here, people just can't poll up and claim benefits. It doesn't work like that here. So they would, anybody will become fairly visible where that's concerned. There have been cases of this in the past. Terry. Oh, more on the Assisted Dying Act. Thank you for that, Terry. And also, health and safety comes only when greedy lawyers start convincing people they can sue for something that was your fault, says Des. Well, no win, no fee is illegal on the Isle of Man, Desmond. I don't think there are many advocates who take no win, no fee cases. I think if there were any, they'd soon get a lot of work. But no win, no fee really doesn't apply here. And that's the back door to it, of course. You put in no win, no fee in the legal system, coupled with insurance companies, and I think we've seen what's happened. I think the fact that we have a guard on our railways to our benefit, says John. But as with all moving appliances, it is common sense to be aware of your surroundings. And Steve's on now. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Hi. I'm a guard on the steam railway, and I've done about 16, 17 seasons thereabouts, and trained, to be fair, I'm losing count now, about 24, 25 other guards to work. Now, just to put a few things right, to concur with some of the other callers, the Mark 1 carriages that they're talking about, they were more or less standard up until, certainly until the early 70s,
yeah.
And they've been sort of phased out now, and a lot of the heritage lines use them, and certainly the ones that operate who run on the national network, they use some of them. I think with the operator, the Jacobite, I think reading in the railway press, it's all to do with money. Other operators have fitted the central locking.
Right.
So that's with the Mark 1 carriages on the national network. The heritage lines, they operate with Mark 1 carriages and earlier ones without the central locking. With regard to the Isle of Man steam railway, one of the prime considerations that the guard has, and any operating staff, the loco crew and the station masters, is to ensure that all the door handles are horizontal. Our door handles differ in regard to the UK stock in that they're not slam locks. they don't lock automatically as you slam them like the Mark 1s and other carriages across.
Right.
We have to physically make sure that the handles are horizontal and therefore the doors are locked. And during the course of any train journey, I instill on any guards I've trained to always be sure, always looking down your train to make sure there's no turned handles, i.e. unlocked, and there's nobody with a head out the window.
And so you can look from the guards at the back.
It's one of the guards' jobs to always be observing this train when it's in motion.
So you can look and see the angle of the door handles.
Of course, yeah, of course. There are notices within each compartment to warn people not to put their heads at the windows. primarily the risk of sparks and cinders and overhanging branches and such, but also so they're not tempted to maybe turn the handle when the train's in motion.
But
in practice, because our carriages, well, they're over 100 years old in most cases, and even up until 40 years ago on the big railway, as I call it, a lot of the windows had the leather straps to drop them. Well, once our doors are fastened from outside, you have to physically drop the window first, then reach out and then turn the handle. And in practice, it's quite difficult to open the door if you're inside the carriage. You know, it's done when you know the technique. But if you've never travelled on a train like that before, I spend a lot of time, as do the other guards, when we reach, say, Port Erin from Douglas, we have to physically go along the train to unfasten the doors, to unlock the doors.
Right.
So they're not easily unlocked. So all passengers who are travelling on the steam railway can be travelling in safety, because their safety and welfare is our prime consideration.
And you've been a guard how long?
To be fair, I'm losing count. 16, 17 seasons.
Okay.
Like
I mean,
that.
Have you ever had any incident in those 17 years?
I haven't personally, no. No, I always make sure that everyone's well briefed. A typical thing would be maybe a youngster with parents, they've got the head, it's exciting, I know that, and they have the head at the window a little bit. I go along and warn them gently, you know, to the parents, of course. You know, don't put your head at the window. I know it's exciting, but there's overhanging branches and you might get a spark or a cinder in your eye. But primarily, so they're not tempted to reach over, oh, what does this handle do? You know, inquisitive minds, inquisitive hands. So there's never that temptation. And all the guards I've trained, and the ones who haven't been trained by me, equally so, they're always on the lookout for this sort of thing happening. But rest assured, the doors are safe. You have to really work hard if you want to open a door.
Okay, appreciate
on
that.
On the Almans Steam Railway.
Thanks, Steve. Good to hear from you.
Pleasure. Bye.
All right, look at that time. 29 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Any thoughts on this? Got a message in from Brian, who just said, one of my favourite things in the entire world is crossing the Glenfinnan Viaduct on the Jacobite. When I mention this at dinner parties, my wife rolls her eyes. Most railway fans will understand that. I'm fed up, says Tim. I'm fed up with hearing the same thing. We've got the TT coming up. I live in Saint-Renan in France, and I'm having difficulty getting to the island, and difficulty finding somewhere to stay. People do want to visit, says Tim. Thank you, Tim. All you need to do is go to the website. I'm sure they'll be very, very happy to get you sorted out. Going through my bank statements this morning, says Texter 807, I found out that Manx Gas have helped themselves to money from my account. Now, please bear in mind, I don't have an account with Manx Gas, nor am I even a customer. So it's just a bit of a warning. Have you asked Manx Gas for the money back, or Isle of Man Energy, as it is? Texter 807 will be interested to hear what the that particular tale is. Oh, Paula's with us now. Hi, Paula.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Fast am I.
What's on your mind?
I'm just ringing up with regards to assisted dying.
Yeah.
And while I have every compassion for people coming to end of life or choosing not to, that they don't want to live anymore, and I can't comprehend what they're going through, I just think there's not enough emphasis being put on the safeguards of this bill. I mean, they keep in Canada and other countries, they are widening what's acceptable for when you come into end of life. And when I say I can't comprehend, that there are situations in life that you feel very depressed or anything like that, so your mental health or your physical health. But, you know, a few years later on, you've been through treatment, you've had care, you've adapted the way of living, you have a life to lead. And I know there's other people that go through a lot of pain and want to end their lives.
So what's your primary concern, Paula?
Safeguarding of people that feel that they need to die when they don't really need to die. And I don't think people are understanding that there are going to be huge loopholes and people will be able to choose to end their lives when they really shouldn't, and the pain that is going to cost to the people that are still alive that they've left behind.
This is such a difficult subject, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's just not black and white. And the thing is, the white and the black and then the grey in between is so huge that we've all got to be very careful, and we've all got to really think, do we want that as a situation to find the Isle of Man in? And what sort of things are being put in place to have facilities to run this? I mean, the Isle of Man is... Manx Care is crushed under what it needs to be doing for the living, instead of organising some sort of situation to put through the dying. Can we afford it?
Yeah, and again, we talked about this before. I don't want to sound morbid, but if this does happen, there has to be a method for doing it. Is it going to be Manx Care? Is it going to be a private organisation? How much is it going to cost? What are going to be the safeguards? It's fraught with lots of detail.
Well, exactly, and I don't think a lot of people are really in responsible positions are really thinking this through and really thinking, is this what we want for the Isle of Man, when there's so much care needed already for the living before we process what is needed for the dying? And I think hospice and such other caregivers do so much and work so hard to provide that do we need to spend money on... Do you know where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
It just seems to be something that's not really been thought out. And yet, the pain, like I said, with people that are feeling that they're at near the end of their life or they don't want to live anymore, the compassion we need to feel for them is paramount. It is paramount. But do we really need to think we need to queue them up and... put them on the scrap heap.
Okay.
I mean, that's the worst kind of feeling. Thank you, Andy.
I appreciate it, Paula. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
All right, 26 minutes before one. Now, Barclays in Ramsey is only going to be open 2 days a week. Yeah, it's been announced. Barclays will only be open 2 days a week on Parliament Street. Another nail in the coffin of Parliament Street, says Texter 068. Every time a bank or a shop closes, it gives less reason for people to visit the high street, so other businesses suffer. The rot has to stop. The banks must keep branches open. They make enough money after all. Use your shops. Use your banks. Barclays in Parliament Street is an impressive building. It's a big building. It does seem, I mean, if you think about it, this sounds like the thin end of the wedge. It does, I don't want to tempt fate, but it could be the end of Barclays at some point in Ramsey. The banks will tell you fewer and fewer people actually go into physical banks. Lots of people have got the banking app and bank online and very rarely go in. Some people do, a lot of people do, if you aggregate them together. But how long ago did the branch in Onchan go? The branch in Castletown has gone. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know whether you remember the Barclays, the Martins bank that used to be at the top of Royal Avenue before it moved up into Village Walk. Barclays in Onchan, gone. And now, 2 days a week in Ramsey. Well said, Steve. Thank you, Steve. The train guard, common sense amidst people looking for problems. Well, let's just hope it doesn't happen. And as Gordon said, it's because it's going on UK national lines, so that's it. And by the way, the Wildlife Park Railway is called the Orchid Line. I didn't know that, 753. Regarding the hospitality industry, I'm a qualified chef, says John. I've thankfully left the industry. I spent, or should I say wasted, many years of my life in the industry. I work 6-day weeks consisting of 5 split shifts. Detrimental effect on my social, my family life. The money was always as low as the employers could get away with. The staff were here today and gone tomorrow. Making friendships was also impossible due sometimes to language differences, says John. Happily now, he says, out of the hospitality industry. For many people who don't work in the hospitality industry, and I have worked in the hospitality industry many years ago, it really isn't a job. If you enjoy the hospitality industry, it's a way of life. And for many people, working outside the hospitality industry is unthinkable because they love it so much. But it's hard work. There's no getting away from that. There's nobody who works in the hospitality industry won't tell you that it is darned hard work. But quite what we're going to do for the future for our hospitality industry, which at the moment is suffering pain, as they said yesterday, we don't know. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right.
Yeah, good. Thanks. What about yourself?
I'm getting better.
Good, better. Good.
Thank you. My voice was bad like yours at the time, but getting better. How appropriate, I think, I'm not dead sure about this, but I think somebody is actually... pointed out to me at one time that the reason why it's called the Orchid Line is because I won't say exactly where, because I believe they're quite rare. It's a bee orchid found somewhere in the Santon area, and they used to stop the train to actually show people on the train.
Wow.
And take photographs of it. So that's probably a very rare thing to do in itself, allow the trains to stop and let people go off, get photographs, so and so, you know.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The reason why I got on is I've come across a book produced. It's called The Isle of Man Wildlife, All-Round Guide Series. It was produced by Lily Productions in Ramsey. Fantastic little book, and it's more or less selling. It's like a sales book, really. You know, it's telling everybody how good the Isle of Man is, and it's got www.visitisleofman.com.
Right.
So, and it's just going through. It keeps me thinking all the time that we seem to forget how across. A place like ours would have national park status immediately. You know, and I just can't understand why we haven't got it. That's the main thing I'm trying to get at today.
Well, we are one big park, really, aren't we?
Massive. I mean, you think of all the glens that we've got and everything. You know, and they're already there. They don't have to be maintained. We've already got them all being maintained. Yeah. We've got Lacy Weir, we've got Field Castle, we've got... You name it, we got it. The poor island, look at the history there. The whole island should be made a national park, I think. I was just wondering whether anybody else out there thought the same.
Right. All right, good to hear from you, Eddie. Thanks for that.
And you, cheers.
Could we hire from the hotels in England? There are many thousands of working-age migrant males eager to enter our society, says John. Well, I don't know, John. What do you think? Do you think that's something we should recruit from the UK? We recruit from lots of other places. Perhaps from the UK. They did loosen, didn't they, loosen the work permit system earlier on this year? We haven't heard any results of how that's affected the working population and employment on the Isle of Man. I know somebody who sued the steam packet, says Des. And you can get legal aid here, says Des. Is that for defence or is that for prosecution, though, Des? Can you get legal aid for prosecution? Of course, God's representative can't vote in Tynwald. Has the devil won by the non-believers taking the devil's side, says 384. Andy dropped a note in. Andy on 667 says, could you ask Councillor Horning from Douglas to come on and say when the children's play equipment in Nobles Park is going to be removed and the area grassed over, because apparently they don't have the money to maintain or replace it. There are bits of that play equipment in Nobles Park that do look a bit tatty. I don't know, is there a council ruling on that? The rail regulator over the and the Isle of Man is DEFA. The Health and Safety Act 1974 as applied is a Manx Act, says Rob on 584. All those, says 653, in favour of assisted dying, is ask. All we're asking for is a choice, the choice to make their own decisions. So why is that so hard for people to understand? Why are we forcing people to live in chronic pain? This question of assisted dying divides opinion. You've heard many, many times, we've had special programmes on this proposed legislation here. We'll watch very carefully to see what happens to the legislation as it goes through Tynwald. 687 tells me Premier Inn in the UK have just announced 1,500 layoffs. And anything else that's on your mind? I'm afraid the news of Barclays Bank in Ramsey going down to 2 days a week is the sad consequence of information technology. People are obsessed with IT, and sadly it's leading to a demise of the traditional ways that we've done for years. It's another sad step on the road to a time where people don't care about other people, particularly, says Ian, the older generation.
We're all feeling the pinch right now, so how would you like to make some cash by selling your old gold, silver, jewellery and watches? Coming to the Isle of Man for 30 years. Peter, the gold, silver, jewellery and watch buyer, will be at St Catherine's Church Hall in Port Erin on Wednesday the 1st of May from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Peter will pay immediate cash for any old unwanted jewellery, gold or silver that may be stuffed away in a drawer or cupboard. From watches to brooches, coin sets to tankards and everything in between, even scrap. So start your treasure hunt today. Go see Peter and make some cash. For more information, call 0753 096 2038 or see his full page advert in this week's Courier for all dates and locations. Now that's the real deal.
Spring, a time for new beginnings and nature. This season, why not have a fresh start by switching your savings to Guernsey's Bank Skipton International and watch them grow. Skipton International offers a range of savings accounts, from fixed term to notice and easy access, enabling your savings to bloom for longer. So make this spring one to remember by switching to Skipton International today.
For details of all Skipton International savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
The Illegal Eagles return to the Villa Marina 25th of May. Don't miss the ultimate celebration of the music of the Eagles. A critically acclaimed masterclass in showmanship that brings the legendary back catalogue to life. Book now at villagaherty.com or on 600 treble 5. Take it to the limit with the Illegal Eagles, 25th of May. Presented by RS Promotions and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Get ready for a bank holiday winning weekend here on Manx Radio. We've teamed up with Waltons to give you the chance to win an LG 55-inch TV. From first thing Saturday, just go to the Manx Radio Facebook page and identify the famous TV show. Then listen out for the window of opportunity across Saturday, Sunday and bank holiday Monday. And text your name and answer to 166177. And also check out Waltons' huge offers in store this bank holiday weekend. You can also find them on Facebook or waltons.im. So keep listening for your chance to win here on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's a 12:45. Thanks also to WhatsApper 085. People can travel within the UK and Channel Islands, the common area, as we don't live in a communist state. It's allowed. So the Chief Constable can inquire but not enforce, as the common travel area is the people's right. I think the Chief Constable is looking at getting people's names or getting passenger lists from the steam packet, which I think at the moment doesn't happen, just to know who's coming over. And, of course, whether people are giving the right name. You never know. We may have, you know, D Duck or M Mouse travelling. When looking at all industries that contribute to the VAT pot, does anybody know what split it is per industry? For example, hospitality may just be over 20%. We actually don't know which industry is the largest contributor to VAT. This is very curious. I heard on Manx Radio yesterday that this apparently the wind turbine blades are going to be landed at Victoria Pier in Douglas. How is this 50-metre turbine blade going to fit around blackboards after the Ferry Bridge? How are they going to take this fit? I was thinking about this last night. Landing at this blade in Douglas, how are they going to take it? I mean, how many bridges are there to get it over, round and under? Well, you couldn't get it under any bridge on the Isle of Man, so presumably somebody knows somewhere, somebody's been out with a theodolite and they've figured out how to do it. But it might be nice if they actually told us which way it was going to go. Daphne says, hi Andy, our government did a wonderful job in following the UK narrative and locking us down for months on end because of the annual flu. We're now used to cooking our own meals and drinking at home while fixated on smartphones and tablets. We've forgotten how to socialise. We also go without and we don't spend our money so freely. So I do hope we'll recover from the devastating decisions made by unresearched policies during COVID. Well, certainly COVID changed everybody's way of life, whether or not it's a lasting change to our way of life. But certainly you're quite right. Lots of people did without socialising and going out for meals. The place is looking very drab, says 370. How can you expect visitors to come? I'd like to know, what about the cannabis farm that was going to employ 300 people? There are no places for young people to go. What's happened to the development or the bus station, which at the moment is just a glorified free car park? Well, I think Peel Group were going to put that big cannabis farm on the crossroads of the Cool Road and the Newcastle Town Road by the Fort North roundabout. There's going to be a big cannabis farm there. At the moment, we don't quite know because, and I don't really think the Peel Group's solar farm that was going to be happening around the Boulogne Mansion is going to be happening as well. So as yet, we don't know, but we'll ask the Peel Group exactly what's going on. But if anybody can figure out how to get a 50-metre turbine blade from Douglas, from the port in Douglas to Eriestain, it will be interesting to know. I listened to your programme from Castle Rushen High School the other day. I was shocked to hear the lack of knowledge or indeed interest of the students in Manx politics. These people, the 16-year-olds, have a vote. Is this the reason that the Manx government is a complete mess, says Jack. I've had a few comments about this. I was speaking to the students, and I don't know whether if you listen to the programmes from the high schools, we always talk about politics and how many politicians they know. And some of the 16 and 17-year-olds are interested in Manx politics. Others couldn't give a tumpty toss, not really interested. And I don't know whether you read anything into that, whether that's just the nature of being 16 and 17 years of age, or whether you get to a political consciousness later on in life. But I did get a message in, and it was from Davina. Thank you, Davina, who just said, I think part of the problem when we're talking about Manx politics is that most people watch English ITV, UK television and the BBC, so we're force-fed with UK politics all the time. We hear about the UK Prime Minister, we know all there, and really Manx politics gets pushed to the back, and I think lots of young people may get all their political views from simply watching television and not paying attention to what happens in Tynwald. Tynwald, says Davina, is a very precious thing for the Isle of Man, and we should make sure that we look after it. Really, we get the politicians that we deserve, and the ones we vote for as well. But that's an interesting point of view. Thank you, Davina. Is it just watching too much UK politics, or indeed international politics, that we don't get involved in our own politics enough, or think we can't make a difference? Which, of course, we can, because you can always stand.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
They seem to transport wind turbine blades in Scotland, okay. So what's the problem? They have a similar road system to the Isle of Man. Yeah, thank you for 805, but could you show us how... Thanks for the YouTube that you sent of a trailer carrying 189-foot turbine blade making 90-degree turns. I know, but I'm just trying to visualize it myself. If you can visualize how it's going to happen, because it couldn't go down Cuaig because there's a bridge. There's a steam railway bridge. You can't go under that bridge. So if it's going, it's going to have to go up the Peel Road, turn left, surely, or maybe go on to Foxdale and go that way. Just interested to see. They could move the turbine blades from Victoria Pier and assemble them there to the assembly site by a heavy lift helicopter, couldn't they, says Andy. Well, they can, I think. Be interested to see. Be certainly a spectacle, wouldn't it? Are you able to mention the horse tram stables are open to the public? I have information on good authority from the stable staff that the horse tram stables, the halfway horse trams, are open. Presumably, knowing the government, they'll buy rubber blades that'll bend round corners, says G. That indeed would be a spectacle. Thank you for that. Lots of questions, which I've been storing up for a wee while. This was a one from Alan in Kirkmichael, who said, I heard a story recently about the fact that we've got lots more jobs. How many jobs are they and where are they from? Government figures have just shown we've more than 3,000 new jobs been created on the Isle of Man since the start of the current administration, including a net gain of almost 1,400 in the public sector. 1,400 more in the public sector. Some sectors have seen their roles decrease. Responding to a written Timwell question from Tim Glover, Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, Mr Cannon revealed there were just under 55,000 jobs on the Isle of Man as of December last year, up from 51,300 in September 2021 when he took office. The increase is made up of 1,919 roles in the private sector and 1,359 within government-run services. These are net gains. Almost 700 of the new roles are medical and health sectors. Education's up by almost 900. Public administration, including central government and statutory bodies, has seen a 234 job reduction. In the private sector, food and drink manufacturing seen the biggest reduction, a drop of 464 jobs. Insurance is down 313. But some areas have seen big rises in catering and entertainment and financial services. Mr. Cannon's responses state these changes have been recorded in the tax system and don't necessarily relate to full-time positions. Note that. He also highlights that some businesses will have been reclassified into different economic sectors during this time, and he says that can lead to large swings in job numbers through some sectors. But apparently 3,000 new jobs have been created since Mr. Cannon took office. Sadly, a late friend used to volunteer at the Orchid Line when the Wildlife Park had special event days. It went really well. It's still going, isn't it, the Orchid Line? I'm sure it is still going. Thanks also to people sending me lots of videos about full root turbines that are going here, there and everywhere. Thanks for that. I want to also thank you for the messages concerning the outside broadcast. We always appreciate getting notes about, you know, what you think of when we're out and about.
Yes, it's Guild time again. And throughout this week, the Villa Marina is the home of the Manx Music, Speech and Dance Festival. But what's it really like?
It's the most supportive environment. It's the most loving environment. It's the most nerve-wracking environment. And I'm just so proud of them all.
Bite-sized breakfast reports, supper at 9 with an hour of Guild highlights, and you can binge on YouTube videos and podcasts just by going to manxradio.com.
Oh dear, I don't think that's supposed to happen.
Manx Radio, your complete Manx Music Festival station.
So all good in the end.
Manx Radio's coverage of the Manx Music Festival is brought to you with Spectrum Windows.
The man in line with Andy Wint.
Phil dropped a note in to say, my friend and I regularly enjoy going to the Gaiety Theatre using taxis for our transport. Currently, I pre-book a taxi to be outside the theatre when the show finishes, and we go to our favourite pub for a few drinks. Also pre-booked as a taxi to pick us up at about 11:45 p.m. to go to our respective homes. Now that that tariff 2 has been brought forward to 11 p.m, we'll be going straight home after the theatre concludes. Therefore, not only does our local lose 30, 40 odd pounds, but the taxi company is going to lose a fare, at which the pre-increase rates was £12. Multiply this by 10, it's about £500 going to be lost to the local economy. I just wonder how many other people are going to be doing similar. Well, the taxi changes, the taxi tariff changes have happened, but they say they're not set in stone. It's just a matter of what they say. They want to get more taxis out and about before midnight, and bringing tariff 2 back to 11 rather than midnight is one of the mechanisms they hope will work. But we'll see. That's it for Man in Line today. Back tomorrow, Wednesday, with another open line. Thanks to Ben Hartley on the phones today. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
WINT.